Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Franke.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Uh-oh. All the lanes of I-5 will be closed for paving this weekend between Southeast Foster Road and Interstate 84. The closure will begin at 10 p.m. Friday, August 2nd, with all lanes open again by 5 a.m. Monday, August 5th. This effort is part of the I-5 paving auxiliary lanes and ODOT real-time signs project from Johnson Creek Boulevard to Glen Jackson Bridge. Outside of the closure area, three additional on-ramps that lead to northbound I-5, Sunnyside and Sunnybrook Boulevard, Johnson Creek Boulevard, and Gleason Street. Okay, Franke, I know how to pronounce Gleason. You don't have to write it out, Gleason. Okay, never mind. Will also be closed for the weekend starting at 9 p.m. Friday, August 2nd. Signed detours will direct travelers to alternative routes. ODOT advises to expect congestion on the detour routes and plan ahead for delays. Public transit is another option as TriMet Green Line runs parallel to the closed portion of I-5. Visit TriMet.org to plan trips or contact TriMet's rider support team at 503-238-RIDE, R-I-D-E. ODOT says closing ODOT says closing 205 I-205. One day I'll get the highway right. Northbound for a weekend is an efficient approach as it saves time, money, and improves safety for crews. The alternative would be 3 to 4 weeks of partial nighttime closures, so closing all lanes for one weekend eliminates about 17 days of paving work. ODOT estimated it also generates more than $500,000 in cost savings. The last time this section of I-205, hey, I got it right this time, was paved was 15 years ago, and ODOT says the surface was deteriorating. This project also includes the construction of three new auxiliary lanes. Additional closures of I-205 are expected this month in the Portland area. For those details, visit our website, canbenowpod.com.
A new person at the helm of the Clackamas County Tourism and Cultural Affairs Office. Samara Phelps has been announced as the new head of the department, which is tasked with enhancing and promoting Clackamas County tourism under the brand Oregon's Mount Hood Territory. Phelps will replace Danielle Cowan, who is retiring after 9 years in the position. The county performed a nationwide recruitment with candidates going through multiple interviews with administration and the Tourism Development Council, which is a 9-member volunteer board that oversees the work of the Tourism Department. County Administrator Gary Schmidt says Phelps is an exceptional leader who brings a wealth of experience in tourism, destination marketing organizations, and nonprofit leadership. She rose to the top of a very competitive national recruitment for this position. She will continue the accomplished legacy of success of Clackamas County Tourism and Cultural Affairs, and I look forward to working with her in the years ahead. Tourism Development Council Chair Jody Carson said she is excited because the tourism industry is no longer about just good marketing. You also have to understand development and management. Phelps gets this, Carson said. Phelps has more than a dozen years of experience in the tourism industry. She got her start managing the visitor services program at Travel Lane County, where she later served as community and stakeholders relations manager. She made the transition to Clackamas County in 2015, where she took over as destination development lead. In that role, she worked closely with partners throughout the county to strengthen communities through the creation and improvement of tourism products and the creation and implementation of strategic plans.
I'm excited to take on the opportunity to lead this organization into the next chapter, she said. We are a high-performing team at the leading edge of the industry. There are a lot of changes happening in tourism right now that affect how organizations like ours do business. We're up for the challenge and continuing to strengthen Clackamas County's economy through tourism. Phelps will officially start in the new role on August 1st. Cowan will continue to serve on a limited part-time basis, representing the county's interests with outside organizations. Clackamas County Tourism and Cultural Affairs is funded by the voter-approved transient room tax at lodging properties throughout the county. Visitors spent more than $600 million in Clackamas County in 2018, according to an economic impact study. That same study showed that travel spending supported more than 6,700 jobs in the county during that same year.
Police beat for the week of June 25th through July 1st. And good Lord, I'm looking at this this report, you guys. There's a common thread in here that I've noticed before, but this is nuts. At 8:13 a.m., report of a pedestrian being hit when they walked in front of a moving vehicle that they did not see, which is insane to me. How do you not see the moving vehicle? But you know what? It was 8:13 a.m. That sun was only all the way up in the sky. June 26th, 4:17 p.m., a victim reported a wireless account that had been opened in their name without their approval or their knowledge. Again, if somebody wants to pay for my wireless bill, just send me a real quick email text. Like, just Tyler at canbenowpod.com, and you can win the chance to pay my wireless cell phone bill. July 27th. Oh man, there's so much on July 27th, you guys. 7:16 a.m., a traffic stop was conducted on a driver whose license was suspended for a previous DUI. The driver was arrested and his vehicle was towed. 7:30 p.m., a person was seen placing unpaid merchandise in his backpack. However, he dropped his bag and the items before leaving the store. Once outside, an officer contacted the man and cited him for being a convicted felon in possession of a restricted weapon. 9:15 p.m. reports of an intoxicated person leaving a convenience store in a vehicle. The man was located and stopped by officers and arrested for a DUI. 10:24 p.m., a man behaving suspiciously outside of a closed business was trespassed from the location and notified if he returned, he would be arrested. Which, I don't know. How do you behave suspiciously outside of a closed business? Is there something specific you gotta do, like lean up against the wall and try to look like you're not there, and then, but like sing your own like sneak music, like, ba-da-ba-da. I don't know, guys. June 28th at 4:23 p.m., a locked vehicle was reported stolen earlier that day. 9:25 p.m., an uninsured vehicle with expired registration was stopped, and the driver was arrested for DUI, controlled substance, and cited for possession of methamphetamine. 11 p.m., officers transported a man to a medical facility. On June 29th at 2:30 a.m., reports of an intoxicated individual breaking a window of a residence and shooting a firearm. One of the residents was later arrested for unlawful use of a weapon, shooting a gun in somebody's residence. And another person was cited for criminal mischief for having thrown a rock, which broke the window. I mean, if there was ever a criminal in that bunch, it's the rock thrower. June 30th, 7:06 a.m., report of a person shooting a firearm in a residential area. Upon arrival, officers located the armed man, who failed to comply to the officer's commands and fired shots towards them. Officers subsequently moved in and took the man into custody. Luckily, he only had a gun and not a rock. Because the last guy had a rock. Never mind, that was a dumb joke. 11:53 on June 30th, following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine and heroin and a probation violation. She was also cited for driving while suspended, which I have to point out that this is like the third meth and heroin probation sort of thing why are people carrying so much meth and heroin around with them when they're driving? Especially when, I don't get why they do, like, why stop carrying your meth around with you? And personal preference, I guess. July 1st at 11:15 a.m., report of a person throwing items over a shared fence into a neighbor's backyard. 6:39 p.m., a driver was cited for driving uninsured, expired registration, and driving without a license. As the vehicle was being prepared for impound, several clothing items with security sensors attached were seized, along with methamphetamine and heroin. Because why not? If you're gonna go steal stuff from a store, you should definitely carry your meth and heroin with you. That's probably the good move. 7:25 p.m., a man was cited for smoking marijuana in public and for trespassing. And finally, at 11:20 p.m., a waitress reported a possible DUI driver. After the vehicle was located and stopped, the driver was cited for driving uninsured and driving while suspended and expired registration. And I'm going to give you two guesses as to what he had in the vehicle before it was impounded. If you said anything but meth and heroin, you're obviously not from Canby, because everybody knows you have to take your meth and heroin with you when you go drive with an expired license, registration, and under the suspension or whatever.
Just around the corner is the annual Clackamas County Fair, and one of the most beloved annual parts of that is the annual Kitty Caper Parade, not the least of which reason is because it gets you into the fair for free, but also it has a really long, rich history in our community. And joining us now to tell us a little bit about this year's parade and the new Grand Marshal is newly named Vice President of Canby Kiwanis, Angela Baker.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Angela?
Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is a beautiful day. Yeah, absolutely. Welcome onto the Canby Now podcast. Tell us about this year's parade.
So we're really excited for this year's parade. This is going on for since 1948, so it is a true Canby tradition.
It's incredible.
So we invite all of Clackamas County to come out. Yeah. So the Kiwanis have just this rich history within Canby of providing these programs for kids. And this is probably one of our favorite things to do, is to see the kids dressed up and getting ready for the fair, and then they get to kick off the entire Clackamas County Fair with this parade.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So if folks have never seen it or never been involved, basically, tell me if I miss anything, but it's basically kids, they gather up, they can decorate their bikes, their wagons. I've had to do it before with the wagon thing where I'm pulling my kids all the way down the street, but they can wear costumes, and it's basically just parading through downtown Canby all the way out to the fairgrounds, and then, like I mentioned, you get free admission, you get to just walk right in.
Absolutely. That's the pride of the parents for pulling those wagons.
Oh my gosh.
But you get free admission too.
Yes.
So yes, I've been there myself.
I think I should get
absolutely
a free corn dog or slushy, but we'll talk about that later. So
absolutely. Yes. So this parade is on August 13th. And the day before, the Kiwanis actually give the kids an opportunity to come to night school and decorate their bikes. The Kiwanis will provide all of the decorations for the kids. So they can come between 4 and 6 p.m. on the 12th, and they will decorate their bikes. And then we actually lock them up at night school overnight, so you have to carry that decorated bike back home and bring it back the next day.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. This is the first year you're doing that?
This was a long-time tradition that we brought back last year, so
okay.
We're very excited to bring that back. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great idea. And I believe you award prizes for kind of the best decorated entries, the ones that are most on theme, things like that?
Yes, absolutely. So this year's fair theme is farm fresh, handmade, and homegrown. And so there's extra points to the entries that find that way to work in the theme of the fair every year. There's some other dress-up categories. I believe there's historical and superhero. And so those are all on the registration forms.
Cool. How can folks get the registration forms?
So you want to go to canbykiwanis.org, and click on programs, and you'll see a tab for the Kitty Caper Parade, and that'll lead you straight to the information and the registration forms.
Okay, great. So you can fill it out right online, or do you need to print it out and mail it somewhere?
So you're going to print it and bring it with you at this point.
Oh, gotcha.
They're just going to turn it in day of. So people are, can just show up day of as well and register then if you don't have it in your hand ready to go.
Probably a good idea to do it in advance. So I know from our experience last year, the lines can get kind of long for registering.
Right.
So.
Cool. Yes, this is an all-volunteer-run organization. We always ask for your patience with any program that we put on in Camby. All volunteers, so that line can be long sometimes for sure.
Absolutely. I can't imagine anybody being impatient. I mean, it's fair week, right? Like, it's all fun and games.
Absolutely. It is. We have a great time.
Absolutely. Well, one last thing that we obviously wanted to ask you about, a little bit of news that broke this week, is we are very excited to hear about this year's Grand Marshal, somebody that we've had on the show before. We're actually interviewing again this week to have back on the show. Camby superhero, as far as I'm concerned, Javi Eric. Tell us a little bit.
Yes. So one of the things Qantas does is really wants to recognize kids in our community. And so this year's Grand Marshal, we wanted to make sure it was a superstar child in our community. And I don't think we call her a child really anymore because she's a junior in high school, but she's done some amazing things worldwide.
I wouldn't call her a child really just because she could lift me above her head, but yeah.
Right? You know, she's amazing. What we loved, she was on top of all of this training she does. She also serves on one of the committees in the city, which is the historical committee as well, as a youth member of that. So that's one of the things that we really like to see as clients is the kids beginning to get leadership skills through whether it's our club, the Key Club, Builders Club, down in the middle school level. So we're all about promoting leadership in the children of our community.
Yeah, absolutely. So Javi, if listeners don't recall, she is the, I think, 15 or 16-year-old, I think she's 16 at this point, Camby High School student who is an amateur power lifter. She's only been doing it for a few years, and she's incredible at it. She's broken all kinds of records, and just this past summer, she went all the over to Switzerland to compete in the International Powerlifting Championships, where she won several medals, including one gold in one of the events in her age bracket and weight class. So she's a really incredible athlete, and like you mentioned, is involved in a number of other things. I think she's like a 4.0 student, so she's definitely a great choice for the Grand Marshal of this parade. And if we do it again this year, I'm going to ask her to pull my kids in the wagon because I think she can handle it better than me.
That's a great idea.
Great. Anything to add about this year's parade, Angela, or anything else that you want to put out there for Kiwanis?
Boy, we're just always doing things. And this is always funded by a Camby Kiwanis thrift store. So any donations to the thrift store, any purchase to the store is how we fund all of these programs that Kiwanis does throughout the community and really the world. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well,
come shop at the thrift store.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Angela. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Camby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
True story. When we first started the Camby Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who will deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Camby or online at ps266swag.com. Poetry by Claude McKay. Sometimes I tremble like a storm-swept flower, and seek to hide my tortured soul from thee, bowing my head in deep humility before the silent thunder of thy power. Sometimes I flee before thy blazing light, as from the specter of pursuing death, intimidated lest thy mighty breath, windways, will sweep me into utter night. For, oh, I fear they will be swallowed up, the loves which are to me of vital worth, my passion and my pleasure in the earth, and lost forever in thy magic cup. I fear my truly human heart will perish on the altar stone of art. Welcome back, listeners. It's that time of year again. It is the time for the summer production of Canby Community Theater, but this year we're doing something a little different, a little more fun, in honor of the 25th anniversary of this wonderful community theater troupe. We have a few of the members of this summer's cast and crew. I was wondering if you guys could go ahead and introduce yourselves to the listeners.
Sure. I'm Randy Hamilton. I'll be playing Horton, the Elephant, and Barnum from P.T. Barnum's show. And I've been in Canby Theater, I think my first show was in 2001. So I've done a lot of the shows over the years for the past 25 years.
Awesome, you've done like half of them.
Yeah, I've done everyone since then, but I've done most of them since then. So yeah, and I do the show with my kids, my wife Chelsea, and then yeah, my son Evan, he did his first show when he was 4 years old. And so we've been doing them as a family ever since then. So it's been a pretty cool way to sort of grow my family up in theater, and then also a chance to perform with myself and our whole family.
Yeah, that's awesome that you kind of grew up in all this stuff. So
yeah,
very cool. Well, thank you, Randy. Welcome onto the show. We have a couple other people.
Hi, I'm Maddie Brockman, and I am the choreographer. I have been involved in Canby Community Theater since, I think, about 2003, actually, was my first
almost
one.
Almost.
Not quite as many as Randy, but quite a few. I actually started off as an actress, and I've kind of evolved my way into role of choreographer throughout the years. So I think this is my fourth show that I've choreographed with Canby Community.
Cool.
Maybe fifth. Pretty sure it's fourth, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
I am Kate Holbrook. I've been in even less shows than both of them. I think I've been in 5 or 6, and not always as an actor. Sometimes I did construction or just secre, depending on when I was available for the summer.
Yeah.
But for this show, I am in 10 different numbers. So
wow.
There's
you can't even remember all.
I have bad memory problems to begin with, so yeah.
10 is a lot to remember. So fewest shows, but you've got that great deep James Earl Jones voice, so we save you less for that. So
yeah.
Maddie, choreographing, is it frustrating? Like, if you have people that are really bad dancers, like I would be terrible, like, is that hard? How do you deal with that?
It is absolutely not frustrating. Okay. And it's
hilarious, actually.
No, it's community theater, so everybody comes with different experience and backgrounds as far as dance goes.
Yeah,
it's so funny. I think that people are so scared to dance sometimes, but it really is not frustrating at all. And I actually think it's fun, because then you can find things that different people can do well, and
sure,
you just kind of mold and change as you go. So no, not frustrating at all. I'm sure you'd be great up there dancing.
And yeah, that is not true.
You would make it work.
I don't really dance. I do lifts.
Oh, okay.
Dancing.
I couldn't do that either. So.
Yeah. I found the strength and like, let's have him do that.
Yeah. I could just point to things, maybe, like,
sure,
point to somebody who's dancing really well. I could do that. Do the Vanna White. Okay, well, let's talk about this year's show. We've kind of mentioned it, Randy. You talked about that you're doing a few different characters, and listeners that have no idea what the show is about are probably like, wait, those are
like different shows. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we're doing numbers from shows that we've done over the last 25 years for our 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
So it goes throughout, and it runs the full gamut of...
It's a true review, like, of the last...
Yeah, we've got comedy songs, we've got duets, we've got full cast numbers, mm-hmm. You know, know, we've got a couple people on stage doing, you know, small intimate scenes up to full on, you know, Broadway style.
Kick lines
and everything. It's cool. Yeah.
Awesome. And how do you weave that together? Like, it feels like that starts to feel a little schizophrenic, or, I mean, how do you deal with that aspect as far as the audience part?
Well, if you look at any musical, they still have a sort of structure.
Yeah.
Where, you know, big opening number to the more like storytelling exposition ones to a big ending, big opening for the second act and stuff like that. So you still can choose numbers that sort of fit that frame. Mm. So you do go from a larger number into a more intimate number, and you can still follow that like mold that most musicals have. So it doesn't become too overwhelming too much, because we just did an hour and a half of huge numbers. The audience would be like, okay, we get it. You're a lot of people. Yeah. You're very loud.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, so you still just follow the mold most musicals have and tell a story.
Is there a consistent story that you try to tell throughout? Like, do you have characters to carry over, or you try to take the different pieces and the different characters and sort of mush them together into a story?
Right. We do not have a story. So it's more like a cabaret.
Yeah.
Where they are solo numbers and they stand alone. Mm-hmm. And one thing we're doing with this is we're kind of making it more transparent as a production, because normally you try and have like the show and you try and keep that air of believability and like the show is the show and this world exists. But we're doing more transparent, where when we open there's no wings down, there's nothing, it's just you can see the whole stage and everyone walking around, and people will be doing like costume changes on stage and stuff. So we're doing more of a like, this is theater. This is what we've been doing for 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's kind of a peek backstage element of it too. And one of the other things that
sort of breaking that illusion, breaking that fourth wall.
In subtle ways, not just like coming out and talking to the audience.
Right. Like, hey, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not like that. And then the other thing I think they were trying to put together when they put this whole thing together was the shows near the beginning are from kind of the beginning of the shows that they're in. And as we gear towards the middle, we try to get sort of that middle, some of those more tense pieces that move the plot along. And then we close with some big closing numbers. So as we move through the timeline, we're also moving from beginning to middle to end of their respective shows that they're in. And then I think we end with kind of a big reveal too.
We do. Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
So that's like a song that's like a bunch of different pieces of songs? Is that what that is? Or?
Well, we have a sneak peek into what we are going to perform for next year.
Okay.
But that's a little surprise. So come and see the show and you can check that out. Well, you can come and see. I guess it'd be tonight.
It'd be tonight?
Yeah. I was actually a part of the decision-making process as far as the numbers that we chose went. And this is actually a really long process because it's 25 shows to choose from. We actually started
what, like a dozen songs at least?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes, it's wild. And one of them's even an operetta, which is just straight music throughout pretty much.
Right.
So
just one song, though.
Yeah. So in the middle of the show, there is a two-hour long.
Yeah. Yeah. We do.
Yes. Yeah.
No, we don't.
We were just kidding.
But yeah, it's been a long process in the making, actually. I think it was almost about a year ago, the director, Craig Holbrook, had reached out to me. And Becky Steger, she has been our musical director throughout some of the shows. This year she's helping. Yes, we love you, Becky. It was almost a year ago when we decided we were going to do this. And we started choosing the numbers appropriately and stuff. Yeah. So it was very carefully calculated.
You looked at the 25 shows and all the songs you'd have to pick through, and you didn't change your mind.
We didn't change our mind.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to ask you, Randy and Maddie, especially, sorry, Cade. You folks that have been a little more involved. It must be cool to kind of revisit some of those memories over the years. What has that been like?
It is. It is very cool.
Because normally you do a show, you rehearse for months, you like, it's really fun, you put it on for 2 weeks, and then it's over. You know, the community enjoys it or whatever, but you often like, okay, that part of my life is over, but this is
you get to revisit that.
Over the years, we've seen varieties of directors come and go, music directors come and go, choreographers, sorry, Maddie, come and go, and it has brought up some of those memories for me. I think it was maybe my second or third show was Annie Get Your Gun, and Cade this year is playing Buffalo Bill in Annie Get Your Gun, which is a role that I did originally. Yeah. And I recall the director we had then, Carlin Love, I got the role, and she walked up to me, and we were kind of talking costume, what to expect for the look and stuff like that. And she had all these pictures of this tall, dark, and handsome fellow. Really, the pictures look just like Kate, you know. And she took them all, and she's like, "This is what I had in mind for Buffalo Bill." And then she threw them all out the window, gave me a big gray beard, and we're gonna do a little older Buffalo Bill for you because you're not quite exactly the body type and the type that we thought.
Oh, that's so flat.
Yeah, just to, yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? You do your whole time. You use the comedic characters, and you'll notice I play more animals than actual humans in the show. So, no, it's been really cool over the years. And then the shout out to my family, and then my theater family has been really neat.
Yeah. What about you, Maddie?
Yeah, it's been super fun revisiting some of the old shows.
Yeah.
Something that's particularly interesting is we're doing some of the numbers from the shows that I had choreographed. So one in particular would be Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins, and we're doing pretty much the same choreography that we did the first time around. So that's been really interesting to teach the same dance number twice.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mary Poppins was only a couple summers ago, but that has been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Cade, so I'm not forgetting about you. Have you had that experience as well? I mean, you've had a few shows as well to revisit.
Yeah. I think the first show I was in was Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat when I was like 10. Mm-hmm. So these are, although they aren't as far back throwbacks relative to my lifespan, half my life ago.
Yeah.
So it is really interesting. I don't think I'm actually, besides the one from last summer, I don't think I'm reprising any roles. Because in Oliver, I was a child.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's not gonna fly anymore. Yeah.
it's really nostalgic in a different sort of sense, where it is directly pulling from like my childhood in theater, because I was doing these shows before I was doing the high school shows.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What's it like? You said you do like 10 different numbers or 10 different characters. I know, you know, I'm a pretty big fan of musicals myself, but there's always like that one or two number that you're waiting for, you know, if like any show, even if it's your favorite one, you have a favorite. And here with this show, you kind of have like probably a lot of favorites. Like that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, there's quite a few that... And what's
interesting... kind of look forward to each one.
In a lot of shows, there's numbers that... are the opposite. They like you're kind of dreading doing.
Oh, really?
But with this, there's I'm not the dancer. So
I see. I'm practicing for that a lot.
But no, they're all really low. Even the ones I'm not like. There's somewhere you take like in the duets. Obviously, you're more in charge of the scene. But like in Grease in Summer Love, and I'm not even a T-bird. I'm just one of the high schoolers who happens to be there. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. It's still so much fun because you get to watch all your friends like do this, and you're there with them and living with them. It's a lot of fun. So every number is just a ball to be part of.
Cool. I really like what we were talking about earlier as far as this being like really shining a little bit of the light on what community theater is about, lifting that curtain a little bit, as it were. Can you guys talk a little bit more about that? It sounds like that was intentional, and you really want to show, you know, as much professionalism and as much work as you do put into each show, and you really want to sell that illusion just because that's what it's all about. This also at the same time is really showing the community how this is a labor of love and what goes into community theater. Can you talk about that a little bit?
What's really cool is because of the nature of the show and because it's back-to-back numbers, there's lots of opportunities for everyone. So you'll see people come out and doing full-on main character stuff that maybe wouldn't have done that in the past, because when you get cast as a lead character, you usually have 4, 5, 6 songs, and then a lot of people fade into the background. But there's an opportunity for a lot of people to play a main role and have featured songs all throughout. So, like you said, we're doing the costumes and everything on stage, and then you also get to see all these different people stepping up into the spotlight in all these different roles. And then, you know, some of us who are doing some of the other featured roles, we fade away into the background. I'm doing 10 numbers also. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I have three where I'm kind of featured, that leaves seven for, you know, I'm passing by or lending some vocals or, you know, just being a costume person on stage. And then we're on the fly in the back. There's so much music. The music, the costuming, and the dancing are the three major elements of this. Mm-hmm. You know, there is obviously some acting and some dialogue and some
sets.
Things like
we
that.
Haven't really talked about the sets.
So yeah, very basic, very minimal.
Pretty basic, okay.
Yeah. So that's really the features on... It's small pieces, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does. The set is, instead of being more of a focus, like mm-hmm. it is in some shows, it definitely is there to lend more of a functional purpose for the
purpose. Especially with your dad, I feel like he at least the plays I've seen, like he puts a lot into the sets.
Yeah, he at least the past couple summers has not had a lot of assistance
building
them, so he designs them, he builds them by himself. Yeah. So he's here, I mean, he's here more than he is at home. So he's here on weekends, he's here after work.
Usually for hours. Like covered head to toe in paint and stuff. Yeah, it's like
he's funny. So
building cars and motorcycles.
And he, especially you can see in this show and last summer's show, mm-hmm. he very much has a foundation in Shakespeare where you want to have like mm-hmm. one set that doesn't change a lot that you can use multiple times and in multiple ways.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot last year and in this show where it's the same set, but you're utilizing it in a very multifaceted way. And it puts a lot on the actors to keep it interesting and make new choices for each number.
Cool. Well, when we're recording this, it's after 5. I'm going to let the listeners know that most folks, including myself, or it's kind of that time of the day when we head home, have some dinner, kind of enjoy our evening.
What's that?
You guys, right. That's where I'm going. You guys have like a few hours here. At least you're going to be here rehearsing for opening night, which is on Thursday. It's a lot of work that goes into this and, you know, times that by 25, right?
Yeah.
So why do you do it? And why do you think it's worth keeping community theater alive and the community that can be?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's community theater it's such an amazing thing. Like Randy was kind of talking about earlier, how he's been able to, you know, bring his family into the community theater, but at the same time, you're also making this theater family, this community theater family that you make, and you're spending all these evenings with working with these people and creating with these people and just having fun with all these people. And it's such an amazing experience to just grow together and just create something out of just things that we can do, dancing and singing and building sets and stuff like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love musical theater. I kind of told my why about my family and why I do Canby theater and stuff like that. I also play trombone, and so I'll play in 2 or 3 orchestra pits, sometimes out in Sherwood or different places around. I love musical theater. I mean, music's in my blood, and so, you know, this is an opportunity that's close enough to home. It's a labor of passion and love. And like you said, the hours are just after work, and we've been 6 to 9, almost full cast for weeks right now.
Oh my gosh.
And it is tiring.
Just hearing that.
Yes, no, it is. And we're to the point where it is, but we're also to the home stretch.
Yeah.
We're also, our show's opening, well, it's opening tonight when you're listening to this, but we're a couple days away when we're recording it. We're on the home stretch, so you got that kind of passion pushing us to going through. How about you, Kate?
Yeah, I do it because I love it. I mean, theater is what I want to do for the rest of my life, so... being able to, because there's pursuing it just professionally, which is nice and good and fun and pays, which is great. But when you're doing it, especially in like this segment, can be specifically, because that's where my experience lies, it's so much, like Randy was saying, just a passion, because there's like, you're surrounded by people you enjoy, and everyone's there because they love it, and they're not for a paycheck or not for, because they have to be, but because they love what they're doing, which is why I'm so excited about the transparency we were talking about earlier, because you get to see everything we're putting into it and everything that it takes to do something like this.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting.
Cool. I saw Kate in a commercial over the winter, huh?
Yes.
I I was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you Horton or?
In fact, I was an elephant.
You were an elephant. Yeah. No way. Wow. It was, random guess.
It was an insurance commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
We're opening tonight. One thing you're excited about. Everybody say one. You go first, Kate.
Oh, you're
looking at Randy.
One thing I'm excited about is open.
Most excited about. Just throw it out there.
I'm excited for Heather on the Hill.
Okay, awesome. Heather on the Hill. And to be an elephant again, maybe.
That's Randy. Definitely Summer Loving. You guys are going to love it. It's the number from Grease. The dancing's so fun, and I enjoy watching it every time. Cool. Yeah.
Randy, wraps up.
Yeah, I'm excited about performing all the illusions as P.T. Barnum. It's going to be a really visual number and sharing that with people, and that's all new to me, so it's going to be really nice to put that in front of an audience.
What's the name of the show? Does it have a name?
Canby Community Theater.
25th anniversary.
It does not have a name.
Okay. Canby Community Theater.
You should name it.
25th anniversary show. Give me a second and we'll have a name. It opens tonight, August 1st, 7 p.m. Also tomorrow and Saturday. And next week, 8th, 9th, and 10th of August, 7 p.m. each night. Definitely come see it. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
When we post this, we'll have a name for it. So.
Awesome.
The onus is on you for name.
It's going to happen.
Pretty sure they were just joking about us naming the show, but Frankie went ahead and did it anyway. The Canby Community Theater presents A Show to Remember. Check out our proposed design for the show's logo on our Facebook page. For now, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll give you an exclusive sneak peek at tonight's show.
The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more,
that's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate and we saved him 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599, Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
In 2001, Grease was the word, directed by Don Feely, musical direction by Linda Brown, now with Jonah Heavey and Tatum Pearson as Danny and Sandy. Oh, those summer nights!
All right, guys.
Nothing. Have you passed?
She's the co-owner of the Junkrafunk Street Market that's happening this Saturday in downtown Canby. And Shannon, you also, you're involved with a number of other things. I listened to your phone voicemail earlier today. It was like 12 things. It took forever. Like, to tell the listeners all the stuff that you're involved in here in Canby.
Well, I also own the Red Mitten Christmas Bazaar, as well as Autumn Leaves Fall Bazaar. Mm-hmm. And I also own a children's bookstore, which is Treehouse Books. And I manage the Warner Grange. And so I, you know, I'm the facilities person there to, you know, that organizes all the rentals and such there. So anyway, yes, I have my fingers in a lot of things.
Cool. My first question is, when do you sleep?
Not very often.
Not very often and not for very long, sounds like.
That's right.
Well, tell us about the Junkrafunk Market. My intro was not very long. I've never been before. I'm definitely going to go this year. But I love the name. It's an awesome concept, but it's kind of hard to describe. So maybe you can describe it better than I can.
Okay. Well, so the Junkrafunk Market was actually the brainchild of Cheryl Frampton, who owned the Big White Goose that was in Canby. And it also actually, okay, it was in Oregon City also. And it was a place where she taught people how to refinish furniture, things that had been, you know, tossed aside because, you know, they were worn. And there's really been kind of a movement to restoring things as opposed to just going out and buying something new at IKEA. And so that was, so Junkrafunk kind of came from, it was her creation to bring in vendors who had salvaged things and, you know, either restored them to their glory or created them into something new. And Cheryl felt the calling to go back to England where she was from. And so last fall, before she moved back to England, she sold the market to my daughter and I. And so, so this is actually our first year, even though it's the market's fifth year. And Cheryl always had it on the front, on Front Street, because that's where her business was. But considering we don't have a brick and mortar business, it wasn't in our interest to do that. And we felt that the park was just a much better venue, having shade trees and having things for the kids to do and having a lot more parking available. And so, so many of the vendors are returning that, there were vendors that, that Cheryl has had at the market before. Andy and I have spent a number of hours going. We've, you know, driven up to Seattle and hit every hole in the wall vintage market, you know, secondhand stores, you know, promoting the show, as well as we, you know, and we've toured down I-5 all the way down to Roseburg. We did 101 in a weekend, and went, you know, from Astoria to Coos Bay, and you know, meeting people, you know, and we gleaned some vendors from that, from doing those activities as well. And so we actually have vendors from Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and California.
Wow. And so, over 120, something like that, is that right?
Yes.
That's 120 crazy.
Vendors. And that includes food vendors too. And so Corn Dog Commander will be there, as well as Ebner's Meats will have a barbecue going out front.
Nice.
The Chick-fil-A is coming.
Cool.
And Cambie Asparagus Farm is going to have a taco truck there. And we also have a couple of shaved ice vendors, as well as a mobile sweet treat. So they have all kinds of stuff like pies and cakes and cookies and all the good sweet meat.
Oh my gosh, that sounds great. I love a corn dog. One thing you should know about me. That's great. Well, so tell folks that have never been, like myself, some of the non-food vendors that are there, some of the things. I mean, I know there's clothing and there's jewelry. You've kind of described the concept, but let's talk a little more specific.
You know, furniture, wall hangings, home decor, and, you know, repurposed silverware. I've got a vendor who just does really lovely bracelets and rings and necklaces out of repurposed silverware, which are just fantastic. You know, everybody's just so darn creative that, you know, and a lot of things are like one of a kind, you know, repurposed, you know, metal type things. I've seen things made out of brick drums and rotors and, old, you know, machinery parts. And, anyway, it's just, I'm excited to see all the things that the vendors have come up with as well, because like I said, some of them were off, you know, a good portion of them were off of Cheryl's list. So I honestly have not really seen their wares. I had attended the market, you know, as just a shopper in the past, but it's never the same thing twice, because just because they do something really cool with this one thing doesn't mean that they're going to find that same thing again to create another.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so it really is something that, you know, and it's one of those things that if you like it and you see it, you know, you better buy it, because you may never see it again.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it does, you mentioned this earlier, Shannon, but it does seem like there's a definite push from consumers for things that are longer lasting, things that are more unique. I know for me personally, like in the past, we've done quite a bit of online shopping, get stuff from Amazon, but it's very frustrating. The quality oftentimes is not very good, you know, and things will last like one or two uses, and it's just not even worth doing sometimes.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, it's like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that, you know, new refrigerators are supposed to last about 6 years. Well, you know, back in the day, refrigerators would last 30 or 40, you know, and so, and the same thing with, you know, with furniture. Furniture is, you know, a lot of it's made out of particle board, and it just is not stand up to move from home to home to home.
Sure.
And things that were, you know, built, you know, a number of years ago are just built to stand the test of time. They just need to look a little prettier sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, as a younger person with, no useful skills, I would say. Like, it, you know, when I say that, I mean, like, I know how to, like, type on a computer and stuff, but if the zombie apocalypse happened, I'd be one of the first, you know, to die. Like, I'd be useless. But, like...
because you don't know how to fix your own things and it's keep
like,
them running.
Yeah, no, like, my car breaks down and I'm like, I guess we have to throw it away, right? Like, what if... but I really, what I was going to say, I really admire folks that are able to take something that, you know, it's in the name of the market that might look like junk to someone else and turn it into something that's unique plus very beautiful and or useful. I think that that's really cool. And so I'm excited just to see, you know, whether we buy something or not, just kind of to see that creativity and see what folks come up with.
Yeah.
Cool. So just practically, is it kind of a cash only market? Can folks bring cards?
You know, every vendor is going to take their own funds. And I would imagine that a good portion of them probably, you know, especially with the development of the square, you know, merchants love to be able to do that, you know, immediate thing. However, you know, there are two banks nearby, Wells Fargo and KeyBank, if somebody does need to go to an ATM and get cash.
And what are the hours of the market?
It is from 9 to 5.
And so you guys, the Junk Refunk Market will be kind of all around the outskirts and within Waite Park?
Yes, it will be around the perimeter of Waite Park, as well as we'll have an information booth and prizes and drawings and stuff at the gazebo. And
oh, cool.
And then... And actually, we just found out yesterday that the Canby Farmers Market is now going to be between second and third on Holly. So they're actually going to kind of make a leg off of us in front of KeyBank and Gwynn.
Oh, cool. They moved their location.
Yes. And apparently that's a permanent change for them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And the Portland Opera will be coming out to do two performances at noon and at 1. And so they'll be on the corner by the old library.
Cool. Okay, well, thanks so much, Shannon, for telling us all about it. It definitely sounds like a really fun time, and hope you have a lot of people come out and see all the great vendors that you've brought into our area. Thank you so much for all your work, you and your daughter.
Okay, well, thank you, Tyler. Thank you for having us.
Flip to unlimited internet with a fantastic summer deal from DirectLink. Now through August 9th, take advantage of 250 megabit speeds for just $49.95 per month for the first 6 months. With download speeds that fast, your home network can stream movies and shows without that annoying buffering cycle, play online games without lag, and use as many connected devices at once as you'd like. Plus, every internet speed from DirectLink includes unlimited data and zero overage fees, so you never have to worry about using too much. Finally, DirectLink believes in transparency. That's why they've broken down their pricing to outline what you'll pay after the promotional offering ends, and it's still lower than other providers. Give them a call today at 503-266-8111 to flip over to unlimited internet.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, all of Canby Community Theater, but more specifically, Randy Hamilton, Maddie Buckman, Caleb Holbrook, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
In our next episode, Nancy Reagan, Arun Gandhi, Minnie Jean Brown, Jody Williams, Madam Lee Hee Ho, Frederick de Klerk, Holocaust survivor, Alter Wiener. They will not be guests on our next show, but our guest has met all of them, and he brought all of them to Canby to speak to his students over the years. It's Tony Crawford, who helped open the world to a generation of Canby students during his 35-year career at the Canby School District. He tells us about how he did it and his next adventure.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now. Or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon. Also, how to get to our awesome merch store, which, guys, it's building. We got some shirts. You can see them tonight at the Book Nook. We got it for sale at the Book Nook. And if I gotta say it again, go check him out at the Book Nook. You can also visit cambynowpod.com/plus.